Hi, Rachel Zabonik-Chanko here for another episode of the Club Solutions Magazine podcast. Today's guest is Chad Waitzik, the Chief Marketing Officer of Crunch Fitness. I'm super excited to share this episode because it was just so much fun. We talked about, you know, all things AI in marketing, including how to use ChatGPT, and really it's just kind of a masterclass in how marketers are using AI currently and, you know, where that technology is headed. We also talk about breaking through the noise in terms of the upcoming election season and just in general how you can make sure your marketing messages are being, you know, heard and acknowledged by consumers. And then we also touch on Crunch's partnership with Amazon for a really unique way members can check into the facility using a specific technology. So yeah, it was just really fun conversation. I learned a lot and I think you will too. Enjoy. Yeah, well, I want to start with AI because I was just reading about all of the AI integrations, and in particular with ChatGPT-4, which is what I have just kind of started using. I was wondering, could you kind of just give us a macro view of how AI can be used in marketing?
Yeah, sure. Happy to. You know, I think AI, virtually every company out there now uses the term AI in their pitch around what they do, the services they offer. And I think it's important for folks to understand that there are different types of artificial intelligence tools that are available. So I think the one that most people are familiar with right now is ChatGPT, which is a natural language processor tool. And there are things that you can do with tools like ChatGPT around content creation, for example. So, you know, AI-powered tools can generate news articles, product descriptions or service descriptions. They could certainly write social media posts. You could probably even use them to write advertising. Again, these tools use what's called natural language processing algorithms to create content on your behalf. And then on top of that, there are tools that can take the copy that's been written and turn those things into actual computer-generated images. And so there are a number of artificial intelligence tools that can do that as well. The other side of that is on the customer service side, right? So these natural language processing AI tools can be used for virtual assistants or chatbots. So one way to think about it is if you wanted to manage member services on your website, you know, you could have a chatbot that has a conversational dialogue with your members online. That would be another place where that could live. The other side of AI is really on the more of the machine learning side of artificial intelligence. What those tools can do are things like predictive analytics, right? They can take a tremendous amount of customer data, whether that's member data, media data, data from a variety of different sources, and use these predictive analytics to forecast or create custom audiences that you can go target and reach. It allows you to optimize a marketing campaign. It allows you to maybe identify potential leads. And ultimately, I think we're going to get to a place where that machine learning combined with the natural language processing AI, you're going to be able to have highly personalized advertising, very segmented, very precise targeting to specific audiences and groups in ways that we've never truly been able to do before. But I think we're just on the leading edge of that. And I suspect over the next 5 years, we're going to see that change dramatically.
Yeah. Yeah. So essentially, AI tools can help you take, you know, thousands, hundreds of thousands of data points that maybe clubs already had at their disposal, but then, you know, the AI can synthesize that and give specific recommendations for how to use it.
That's right. And that's a much easier way to say it. And you're absolutely right. And in fact, you know, one of the challenges we've all struggled with in the industry is how to manage churn and how to reduce attrition. And we have collectively, we have a ton of data at our fingertips, but getting in and analyzing that data and understanding what you can do with that data to encourage your members to be more engaged, more active, get better results along their health and wellness and fitness journey. You know, that also becomes a really exciting space for us to work in, and something that our member experience team is actively pursuing and is actively interested in. So when you do break it out, you've got analyzing tremendous amounts of data to acquire new members, right? You've got machine learning to analyze your existing members to either give them better experiences or personalized experiences or to drive loyalty and reduce churn. And then this third one out there is actually on content creation, leveraging artificial intelligence to actually create the content, to have that conversation with your member, to advertise to a prospect. And it will absolutely transform our business and all businesses over the coming decade.
Yeah. Well, you know, we are just kind of talking about some macro concepts with AI, and it could be a little overwhelming for people if they're just kind of, you know, starting to hear about AI and maybe haven't played around with it at all. Where would you advise people start if they want to start experimenting with this?
You know, the easiest thing to do, most businesses in our category, they do some sort of an e-newsletter, or maybe they have a blog on their website, and it's a place where they provide content and information to their members to kind of round out that experience. You know, you can hop right onto ChatGPT. I think the website is chat.openai.com. I think that's the website.
I can confirm because I have it open. Yep, chat.openai.com. Correct.
Yeah. You know, you could literally pop in there in the message line, type, give me three things I can do to maintain my New Year's resolutions, and source it with real data. I mean, we could try that right now. I don't know if you want to type that in, and it'll give you three tips. Now, it's always important to read what the algorithm or the artificial intelligence wrote, and it may not fit perfectly with what you were trying to communicate. It may not be on brand for you, but at least it gives you a starting point. And you can take that information and you could potentially publish it on your website. I think it's important, especially with AI, if you're going to do something like that in a newsletter or in a blog, and you're not working directly with an expert, like a health coach, to actually write that content, that you do cite kind of where that supporting information comes from. And ChatGPT will give you that information as well. They'll tell you where they pulled that.
Yeah. So I did type that in.
Yeah.
And so, it starts off saying maintaining a fitness resolution is challenging, but here's some data-driven strategies that will, you know, significantly enhance your chances of success. And then it goes into detail on one, tracking your progress with data, and it provides a description. Number two, set SMART goals, goes into a description of that. And then three, incorporate evidence-based workouts. So great information that you could potentially provide to your members that took seconds to disseminate.
That's right. And you might want to tweak and adjust that copy a little bit. Maybe it's not in your brand language, but it's a starting point, right? And it at least gets you moving in the right direction. So, you know, anyone can do that immediately. You set up a login on that website and you can dive right in. You know, the other areas like the machine learning, those are significantly more complex.
Yes.
You're probably going to work with an agency or some sort of a vendor who's going to provide some of those services to you. But even on the advertising side, if you're buying Google Ads, you know, you have the opportunity to use their machine learning tools to place ads on your behalf. And you may already be doing it today and not even realizing that you're leveraging artificial intelligence to get better with your targeting.
Yes. Yeah, I was reading about that, and that was one of the things that popped up. And I was like, wow, there's probably, like you just said, so many instances where we're using AI-supported stuff and we just have no idea.
That's right. And, you know, the real challenge, we face this on our team, and I suspect folks all across the industry face it. You're going to be contacted by a number of different vendors and agencies who claim they have artificial intelligence tools, when really all they have are really good data analytics models that they've built over the years that they've rebranded as AI, as opposed to true AI, where the machine itself, it learns based on the data it's given and continues to learn. You know, that's very different than having some really strong advanced algorithms and data-driven insight tools. And the hard part for all of us is, how do you separate those that truly have AI and those who claim they have AI? And I wish I had an answer for you. I don't. Because we go through that all the time with folks that pitch our business.
Yeah. So maybe do your due diligence, talk to other operators. Don't just take something at face value. Yeah.
I think that's right.
Yeah. Well, since we're on the topic of just technology, I want to ask you about another thing that I saw that you guys had done recently in that vein, and that was your partnership with Amazon for Amazon One. Can you explain kind of, you know, the impetus for that and what exactly that is?
Yeah, we absolutely love our partnership with Amazon. They are a really, and obviously they're one of the top organizations in the world, but not only based on size, but just in terms of the people that we get to work with on a daily basis. It's really been a real pleasure to work with the Amazon team. And, you know, they've developed this technology that leverages a unique biometric measurement that is the palm of your hand. Like our retina, like our fingerprint, the palm of our hand is unique to each of us, and okay. It can be measured. And that data can be used in a variety of applications. Amazon, I think, originally has used it in some of their pilot convenience stores called Amazon Go. Mm-hmm. It was the method by which you could enter and exit Amazon Go. They also, I think, bundled that with another technology that they developed called Just Walk Out. So you maybe have read about it, where the Just Walk Out stores are filled with all types of cameras and sensors. And you walk up to a shelf and you want a bottle of water, you grab that bottle of water off the shelf, it knows you took that water and it's going to bill you on your way out. You don't even have, there's no scanner, there's no cash register, it's linked to your Amazon account and it just bills you. The Amazon One is a way to actually enter and exit that facility. And when we reached out to them, or they reached out to us, I don't remember how we actually made the connection, the conversation was around, can Amazon One be used to facilitate a more seamless check-in process for our members? You know, the front desk can become a very crowded place at certain peak hours of the day. And inevitably, you're going to have a group of people who need a little extra attention and service from the front desk team. And you're going to have other members that just want to get in and get to their workout, right? They want to say hi and they want to go. What Amazon One allows is a frictionless way for our members to enter the gym. They register in advance, their palm. We link that palm to their member account. And all they have to do is place their palm over that reader, and they'll get the signal that, you know, they've been checked in for the day, and then they can proceed to their workout. What we're finding is that it is very fast. It's incredibly accurate. It eliminates the risk of you losing your key tag, your barcode, forgetting your mobile phone, which maybe also has your barcode on it. I don't need any of those. I have my hand with me whenever I go to the gym.
So let's hope.
Pretty easy. It's accurate. So I know that I don't have people using somebody else's barcode to get into the gym. So it reduces those risks. And what we're seeing is about 80% adoption among our members. I think for the most part, I've been very pleased with it. You know, there's a small subset that, you know, they're a little skeptical of biometrics, but we think that over time, this is just where we're all going to head. So we've been in a pilot with them for about 4 months now, 4 or 5 months, and we're seeing really positive results. And we're looking to expand it further across our franchise network. And then the question becomes, what else could you use this tool for? Could it be used in our retail areas of our gym? Could it be used to check into a group fitness class or to activate a personal training session? We don't know yet, right? We're still exploring a lot of those, but you could start to see the potential of where this goes. The data is highly secure. Amazon doesn't use that data for other purposes, right? I think that's a concern of some people. It is purely used as a way to check you into the gym and to validate you are who you say you are.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
I think that's really interesting too, because, you know, with the conversation surrounding mental health, a lot of people are realizing that maybe they use their phones too much. They're kind of linking their phones to, you know, lessening their mental health. And so a lot of people are wanting to kind of distance themselves. And a gym's a great way to, you know, maybe leave your phone behind, but you can't do that if you have to use it to check in. So this could be a way to further, you know, separate that reliance that we've had on that specific type of technology.
Yeah. Leave your phone in the car, leave the phone at home. Hopefully at Crunch, we've got, you know, really great music playing overhead. So you don't need it for the headphones. Mm-hmm. And again, it's super frictionless. And again, you don't need to carry that phone with you if you don't want to.
Yeah. Very cool. Awesome. Well, anything else on just AI or technology before we move on to other topics?
Nothing off the top of my head. I'm sure I'll have something as we continue to talk, but you know, I think the one piece of advice I would give anyone listening to the podcast who is interested in AI, it's just start reading. Just start reading some articles about it. Just get yourself familiar with it. I don't know that there's going to be any awards for being the first mover in the space, but I don't think you want to be the last mover either. So there's going to be some pioneers out there. They're going to learn. They're going to adapt. But I think the best thing we can all do is just become more familiar with the tools that are available. And that'll just make us better decision makers as we evaluate how to add it to our business.
Yeah, certainly. Awesome. Well, I want to move on to another important topic, which is just breaking through the noise in light of, you know, the upcoming election season and just in general, all of the messaging, you know, platforms that are vying for consumers' attention nowadays. So let's kind of just talk a little bit about that. What advice do you have along those lines?
Yeah. And just to ground people that, you know, maybe haven't really thought about it yet, as we think about the media landscape this year, right? So, you know, if you're not intimately familiar with marketing, you know, it breaks it down into a couple of different components. One part is consumer insights, understanding the consumer needs and habits and practices. One part is creating advertising to tell your story. And then the third is actually leveraging that advertising by buying media. Well, this year, in terms of buying media, you know, we've got an election coming up this year, not only the presidential election, but we've got all types of state ballot initiatives, elections, local elections, and the media landscape becomes very crowded with political advertising. The amount of political advertising, which I think the number I heard last time was about $10 billion, was going to be spent this year. That demand with a limited supply, there's only so many places you can advertise, maybe starts to drive up the advertising rates. So now, even if we want to buy an ad, it might be a little bit more expensive this year. And I think we're seeing media inflation probably around 10% this year. You've got the Summer Olympics happening in Paris. There's going to be a lot of brands telling a story about their connection to the Olympics leading up to it, not only on the Olympic networks, which I think is at NBC and their networks, but across the media landscape. And so you've got all of this going on, and it just makes it harder for us. So how do we break through the clutter? I think the first thing brands can do is make sure we understand who our audience is. So let's define our target audience. For many of us, just given the space, it's people probably around 18 to 35 years old, somewhere in that ballpark. But what are their behaviors? What are their habits and practices? What are their unmet needs? And how does your brand help solve that unmet need? And make sure you are telling what's unique about your value proposition. What sets you apart from the competition? So at Crunch, you know, we firmly believe that our goal is to make fitness, serious fitness, fun. The insight is that the motivation to work out is hard, right? And we just saw that on the ChatGPT query that you just placed, right? Maintaining that motivation to work out is hard. And so we believe that if that experience can be fun, whether it's through our class programming, our personal training programming, or just the environment and the culture we create, that's our value proposition. But the other thing that we've learned about our audience is that our consumers, the Crunch consumers, are feeling all of these pressures around the weight of the world. We like to say bad is out there. Good is at Crunch, right? And you can come to Crunch and get in an awesome workout. And it's an escape from all the bad that's out there, that everyone deserves to feel good. And so we've built a campaign around that. And we did that by knowing our audience. We understood how they were feeling. We understood what was going on in their lives. We understood what our value proposition was. And we really fused those two things to get together. And we did it in a way that we thought was creative and innovative. In our advertising, we tell a story. And we think that by telling a story, we engage our audience emotionally. So that would be the first piece, right? Knowing your audience.
Before you go on, I was going to ask, you know, knowing your audience, how exactly do you guys do that? So obviously, you know, you're talking to, maybe is it surveys, paying attention to social media, is it conversations with employees? How do you feel like you can get a real grasp on what's going on with your members?
You know, it's a little bit of all those things, right? So last summer, we engaged our our advertising agency. And our advertising agency is an agency called Familiar Creatures, and they're based out of Richmond, Virginia. They spent time with a number of stakeholders in the Crunch business, franchisees, operators, folks that work for the Crunch company, the corporate office, to understand what we knew from just our institutional knowledge about the pulse of our members. We also do research studies, both quantitative and qualitative. And we've done some work over the past year on what's called the consumer journey. That includes interviews with prospects and members to understand how they're feeling and what their needs are. And then part of it is just social listening, both through social media, but also through things that we're seeing in the press, things that we're seeing in terms of studies that are going on outside of the world of fitness, but might have applicability to our business. So you kind of stitch together this mosaic of information to develop these insights. So that's how we got in. It was a several month process, but we think it's important. And you know, we do this on a periodic basis to make sure we know our audience.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you for that. So, sorry, I interrupted your train of thought.
No, that's all good. So the first thing in kind of how do you break through the clutter, how do you make sure your message stands out? It's know your consumer and leverage those insights to create a story that links your value proposition to their needs, right? So that's the first. Then it's focusing on leveraging the media to go tell that story. And it's super important that we build consistency across different media channels. So we work very closely with our franchise partners on not only creating a TV ad that we run in all of our markets, but then that TV ad translates into social media ads. It translates into display ads. It translates into direct mail content. It translates into in-club collateral. So that our branding and our message, the consumer is going to see it consistently throughout what we call the marketing funnel. Making sure you have that consistency, again, just reinforces that key message you want to get across. And then it's, let's make sure we're investing in growth. And investing in growth means spending in that marketing funnel. If you're not familiar with the marketing funnel, it's a metaphor. It's a pretty simplified way to think about the consumer journey. Some people would say it's overly simplified, but I think it communicates the point really well. You've got 325 million people in the United States, right? That's the top of this funnel. How many of those people are interested in fitness who might fit in your target market? Well, those people, you want to make sure you're aware, that they're aware of your brand. And so you're going to do hopefully some mass media to try to reach those people and build awareness. Ultimately, when it comes time for them to actually consider joining a gym, a health club, a studio, you want to be in their consideration set, right? You want to be considered. And so for us, it might be, yeah, I'm interested in Crunch, but I'm also interested in brand X and brand Y, and I'm going to go check them out. And as you move down that funnel, you reach them with different advertising. So maybe it's TV at the top of the funnel. It might be social media in the middle of the funnel. You might give them a free trial when they're considering different brands. It might be things like search and direct mail, a little bit lower in the funnel. But you want to make sure that you have an omni-channel approach and that you are telling a consistent message all the way through. And so brands like ours that are franchise forward, the brand does some of that effort, and the franchisees actually do the majority of the effort kind of on a hyper-local basis.
Yeah. And then, you know, you really do need to be kind of everywhere as a marketer, right? Because like you said, it's never just one message or one social media post or one email that someone saw that's typically going to compel them to, you know, join your gym. It's going to be the compilation of everything they saw over the course of months.
Yeah, I think there's truth in that. You know, our category is very much a try before you buy category. While I'm sure it exists, I think the number of people who, you know, wake up today and say, you know, I think I'll join the gym. Let me just go Google gym near me. Oh, there's the first gym that came up. I'm going to click on that and join. Like that doesn't happen, right? People shop around. What have I heard of? How much am I willing to spend? How far am I willing to go from my house? There's a lot of decisions that go into their train of thought. So we want to meet them where they are, right? If they're at the very top end and they're just in the evaluation phase, we want to make sure they know who we are. If they're down to it's between me and brand X, then I want to make sure we're getting them emails on a regular basis. I want to make sure we're showing up in their social media feeds. Maybe there's an influencer that they're following on Instagram who happens to love crunch. And again, it reinforces that maybe they're making the right decision. So you do want to be in multiple channels. But the one thing I would say, and this is the beauty of digital marketing, is that you can target that to your audience.
Yeah.
So it may feel like, oh my gosh, I'm doing a lot, but I'm doing a lot that's very focused and very targeted.
Yeah. And you can use data to see like specific channels that maybe get you better ROI that you can then, you know, hone in on, and you can quit wasting time and effort on other things.
For sure. In fact, that's probably, you know, that's the kind of the third piece of how do you break through the clutter. It's measure your results, adapt your plan, adjust, and then continue to go. So you may find that there is a channel that isn't performing the way that you want it to. And it's either I adapt, maybe my creative isn't working hard enough, so I need to adapt my creative, or this channel just isn't the right channel to be in. And you can pull back from that investment. So it's important that you understand what KPIs you're looking at and that the KPIs are relevant for the objective you're trying to achieve in that channel. So as an example, when we run television for Crunch, the goal of the television is to build brand awareness in the markets where we compete. Because again, we believe that the more people that are aware of Crunch, the more demand will generate. And then these other channels capture that demand. So we don't measure a cost per lead or a cost per acquisition for TV. In some respects, if you're advertising on local television or cable TV, you can't even measure that to begin with. What we do look at is awareness and how does our awareness move over time, right? Quarter over quarter, year over year. Are more people aware of Crunch today than were a year ago, than were 2 years ago? That's very different than something like paid search, where you want to measure how many leads did I get from search and how many sales, online sales did I get from search. So it's important to understand those KPIs, measure them, and then adapt your plan.
Yeah. So, and then whatever your specific goal is, make sure that the channel or platform that you're, you know, on is actually aligning with that specific goal.
100%. If your investment goal, you want to spend half your budget on lead acquisition and you put all of your money into television, you might be hard pressed to prove out that you are acquiring leads.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to maybe investing in Meta or investing in direct mail or some other channels, or even in kind of local grassroots marketing as a better way to generate leads. So it is important to understand what's the goal of each channel. Does that fit with my objectives? And then measure it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, Chad, I feel like I've learned a lot from this conversation so far.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it. You know, it's always great to talk and chat with you about, you know, the things that we're facing in marketing. The fitness business is such a fascinating business because of the complexity of running a studio or a gym or a health club, turnover and the churn that we face in this business. We're always in an acquisition mode. We're always trying to acquire new members and new prospects. And so every day is different. And marketing is one of those categories or one of those business disciplines where you're encouraged to be creative, you're encouraged to be innovative, and you know I couldn't think of a better place to do it than in the fitness business.
Yeah, it's challenging and fun.
Exactly, 100%.
Yeah, awesome. Well, is there anything else that you want to share that you know would be maybe interesting to other fitness marketers? Any other advice?
Yeah, I guess the other thing that I would lay out there is that if you are just starting to ramp up your investment in marketing, maybe you've not considered it a significant priority in the past and you're now making these investments in marketing or maybe investing in a new channel. You know, we live in a society and a culture that is very, I want immediate results. And, you know, in some respects, marketing to gain new leads and new members isn't that different than people just starting on their fitness journey, right? Someone comes in and their cardio health is poor, they're not very strong, and they're overweight. you know, they're not going to get to 7% body fat and be in the top shape of their life in a week or in a month, right? It's going to take consistency and time. Marketing in some respects works the same way. So if you start something and you didn't see results at the end of the first month, it doesn't mean that that failed. It may mean that your message takes time and you need the frequency and you need to build the reach to get to the right audience. And so sometimes we don't see results for 2, 3, 4 months. So you have to both read the data and adapt, but you also have to be patient and let the marketing do its job. And so that's a fine line to walk. And so the little tweaks and adjustments are great, but what I would encourage you all to do is don't pull back just because you didn't see the results in the first month. You got to stick to it. Then you'll start to see results pay off.
Yeah, no, that's great to hear. Because like you said, instant gratification is something that I think is more we're used to right now. So that's just great advice in general.
Now, that being said, you may hit a home run right off the bat. Keep feeding that engine, right? Yeah. Keep feeding it. And if that's the case, that's fantastic. But not every channel works that way. Yeah, sometimes. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Chad, for, you know, just sharing your expertise and letting us pick your brain.
You're welcome. Happy to do it. It's always a pleasure to talk with you, Rachel. And, you know, anything I can do to help in the future, let me know.
No, I appreciate it.